Very pleased to have with us our next speaker, Selena Smith from Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta. Great. And a beautiful slide.
Well, I need 21 minutes. That's why I got up early. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Daniel Blumenthal and Charlie Majette, who worked endlessly in this effort. Of course, this slide suggests that I had no problems, no stress from the ups and downs of the stock market in the past few weeks, because I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interest. I'm going to skip through some of the background, because I think you all know that colorectal cancer is a problem in this country, that there is a disparity, mainly because people will not get screened. We took a look at the community guide, Guide to Community Preventive Services Recommendations. And in that guide, there are three main things that we targeted on. Reduce out-of-pocket expenses, group education, and one-on-one education. There's actually insufficient evidence related to these in terms of colorectal cancer screening interventions, and those are the three that we chose. So our specific aims: to evaluate the effects of education, one-on-one, group, on colorectal cancer knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, to evaluate the effects of three different intervention approaches on adherence to colorectal cancer screening guidelines. So this is an overview of the research. We use the community-based participatory research approach. We randomized our participants into we randomized them initially by individuals into one of the three groups. That did not work, so we ended up randomizing them based on settings. The settings included churches, senior citizen centers, and community health centers. Our goal was to recruit 500 African Americans, 50 years of age and older. We wanted to have, ideally, 125 in four groups: control, small group education, one-on-one education, and financial support. The financial support was actually by way of a $500 stipend to assist in deductibles for insurance. We did a pre-test, post-test model looking at KABPs. We had a 3 and a 6 month follow-up as it relates to screening. So this describes our groups: the control groups, pamphlet only, and we developed a resource directory that all of our groups got. Because of our community members, we understood clearly that just a pamphlet would not work, that a little bit more was needed. So all the groups received a resource directory that we developed for low-cost colorectal cancer screening opportunities in the metropolitan Atlanta area. So we worked with five counties within the metropolitan area. So I just described the reduced out-of-pocket expenses. The group education, we had four interactive group sessions, and then the one-on-one was the exact same, except there were three individual counseling sessions, either with a community member or one of our health educators or community liaisons. So this is how our recruitment went. We actually recruited from 34 churches, 31 senior sites. We ended up with a total of 68 sites. And you might say, well, why didn't you have more clinical sites? Because it just didn't work. And we ended up with a lot more from church involvement. We'd hoped to have equal distribution of recruitment across sites, but the clinics, the public health, the primary care centers in the Atlanta area are really changing. And so it's very difficult to get a big number of people from those centers. A little bit about the demographics by study arms. I won't cover that. I'll go to the specific demographics just to save time. In terms of knowledge, cancer knowledge, we did a 7-item cancer knowledge fact test that asked for amounts of agreement with 7 statements about colorectal cancer. We asked 9 face ballot questions about colorectal cancer knowledge. Only one question, what is colorectal cancer, was there a significant difference between the completers and non-completers, with completers having greater knowledge than non-completers? And by completers, we mean folks who stayed in the intervention the entire time. Group assignment differentially biased study retention. None of the study groups had a significantly higher percentage of completers than did the other groups. So this is what our recruitment looked like. We approached untold thousands, and that's not an exaggeration. Out of that number, we had 803 people who agreed to participate, but we did have eligibility criteria. If you, for example, had been screened based on the guidelines, within the set guidelines, then you were automatically ineligible. If you were too old, if you were beyond 90 years of age, in fact, we did have some people who were older and younger than our inclusion criteria. So we ended up with an eligibility pool of 645 people. Out of that number, 276 withdrew or they died. We ended up with 369 participants total. 110 of those were lost to follow-up. And at 6 months after the project ended, we ended up with 259. So we have two pools. We have a total of 269 who actually began with us at baseline, and somewhere along the way, we lost 110 of those. So a little bit about our demographics in general. As you can see, 42% of our participants were 70 years of age and older, largely because of the number of churches that participated, as well as senior citizen sites. Women to men, 3-1, as has been reported in the literature for other type studies. Education, very, very high level of education, which surprises a lot of people. So at least half of our participants had high school education, and 41% had college or more. So a pretty high level of education, as you would think. This is a picture with Charlie Majette there in the purple sweater and a community liaison there with the jean shirt on. And these sessions became social networks on their own. And that was one of the reasons why in some places the retention was very high. Improvement in knowledge score, as you can see, small groups with a 99. You can see the number that as it divided across groups, about 99 in the small group had the greatest, the one-on-one had the greatest increase in knowledge, and then the small group came in second. Very little with the controls and the financial incentives. 5 minutes, woo. Okay, results. Recruitment goal was 500. That gives you an idea of those enrolled and those who completed the study. Approximately half of the target population over 49 years of age had already been screened. If you want to know why people were not eligible, over half of them had already been screened. The remaining population was generally aware that screening could prevent colorectal cancer mortality. About two-thirds knew at baseline that colorectal cancer could be prevented and that colorectal cancer screening tests could be used for this purpose. At the time this study was initiated, only 3 interventions were recommended by the community guide to promote colorectal cancer screening. The interventions listed were primarily tested on non-African American participants. That's what we know in terms of client reminders, reducing structural barriers, and provider reminders. Our goal was to add to the evidence base by testing the 3 CRC screening interventions that fell into the insufficient evidence category. By focusing on African American population, we hope to determine an approach or approaches that might help reduce colorectal cancer disparities. Participation Participant retention was extremely difficult for this project. As you might imagine, it was extremely labor intensive. Knowledge was clearly increased in the two cohorts that experienced an educational intervention as a contrasted with two cohorts that did not. Each of the interventions appeared to be effective, although statistical significance was borderline. It is likely that had we reached our recruitment target, we believe, of 500, we would have been able to demonstrate statistical significance. The least successful was the financial support intervention, which you might be a little bit surprised about. Remember that many of our participants were eligible for Medicare, so that the deductible, as the study went on, it was not as much of a barrier. This might be attributed to the fact that randomization was not successful with respect to the distribution of private health insurance among our participants. The most heavily insured cohort was financial support group, the group that probably needed the support the least. The prospect of reimbursement of out-of-pocket expenses should have been attractive since, even with insurance, co-payments, deductibles, transportation costs, etc., can be substantial. On a relatively small percentage of participants, regardless of intervention group, were screened even after completion of the intervention, about 34% for the most effective intervention. In the most responsive arm, small group education, participants attended 6 meetings, the 3 introductory sessions plus 3 educational sessions, stuck with the program all the way through the 6 months follow-up, yet only 1/3 of those were screened. The barriers to screening were not lack of education or lack of information, not lack of encouragement, nor money. The remaining barriers could be fear, aversion to getting endoscoped, revulsion at handling feces, or other cultural or behavioral obstacles. This work was supported by the CNP program, funded by the National Cancer Institute, by CDC, a Prevention Research Center, and also by the Minority Institutes for Cancer Center Partnerships, of which Morehouse School of Medicine, University of Alabama at Birmingham, and Tuskegee are a part. Questions? Yes.
Did you actually ask what the aversion was?
Yes. No, we didn't. Aversions were not a part of that. That was a finding, and that was something from the literature. That was not a part of our study. No. Yes. No, that's definitely a next step. One of the steps that we have done is we're working in conjunction with the Fulton County Health Department. That's not the correct name. But we're now, starting November, we'll be doing the small group sessions, the exact same sessions, across the board in 29 senior citizen centers in Fulton County as a result of this study. So I think it's a good next practical step, but we do have some other research questions that need to be answered. Yes? We didn't offer them. We dealt with what the screening guidelines were. We did no screening ourselves. This was strictly an educational effort that made the participants aware of screening that was available. So the screening guidelines were based on current screening guidelines. Well, that was a part of the protocol. A part of their education was to learn what the screening modalities were, what the guidelines are, and at what point you should be having them. So we did teach them about what kind of screening they should be having. We didn't help them make a decision on which one. We said, you know, have you ever had a colonoscopy? If you're over 50 years of age, when was the last one you had? All of that was covered. That was a part of the education. Every session dealt with the screening modalities. We didn't do the screening, but we made them aware of what was available. Yes?
Did you find that there was a difference among those who had been to the doctor within your 6-month follow-up period compared to those who hadn't been to the doctor?
Yes. a part of the study was we communicated with providers. We wanted